Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, episode 339. Today we're reading chapter 30 of the novel, All the Bishop's Children, by Daniel White III with his wife Mariko White. Dwight marched into the house behind her. "If you must know," Rosalind said, "I traded in the car Mama Tess gave me. She said it was mine to do whatever I wanted to do with it. To add to that, I've been saving up some of the money you've been giving me. Mother gave me some money, and Eli gave me some money as well, and a friend gave me some. So now you owe a whole lot of people money," Dwight said. "I already had planned on buying a car if I got a job, so you don't have to worry about how I'm going to finish paying for it. By the way, I started my first day today. I'll be working a full 8 hours each day except for Sundays." "Over my dead body," Dwight said. "And just who's going to take care of the children while you're gone? I hope you realize I'm not going to let you put that burden on Mama Tess." "Oh, it will be no burden to her at all. She already spoke with Eva about it. She says she'll help keep an eye on them for a few dollars," Rosalind said. "She'll be good to have around, especially with Mama Tess's health failing as it is." "And just how do you plan on paying back your mother and brother and friend? I'm sure you plan on paying them back, right?" Dwight said. "I've already calculated it all out in my head," Rosalind said. "I figured if I just got a job that brings in a certain amount and add that to the money you've been giving me, we won't even notice the added expense. Plus, I don't have to be in a hurry to pay Mother or Eli back. They're family. If you continue to buy things on the spur of the moment like that, then we will be scraping for pennies, and you cannot keep borrowing money to buy stuff," Dwight said, leaning forward in his chair. "And this is not the first time you've done this. I told you if we can't pay cash for it, then we don't need it. You're going to take that car back, and you're going to quit that job. I did not tell you to do either of them. And what's more important to you, getting a job and driving around in a new car that you're still paying on and leaving your children with their grandmother, who's already weak in the body, or being content with the car you already had and staying home with your children as a mother should?" "All the children will be fine," Rosalind said. "They know I love them, and they will appreciate me sacrificing to do this when they understand I'm doing it, so they will have a lot of things I did not have and could not have when I was growing up. You don't want them to begin feeling inferior because their friends have new clothes and they have to wear hand-me-downs, do you?" Dwight drew in a deep breath and let it out slowly. "Getting a new car isn't the only reason I got this job. I've always dreamed of having my own spacious house that I can fix up the way I want to, with each of the children having their own rooms, plus the guest bedroom with its own bathroom," Rosalind said. "I want all my dreams to come true." "The problem is you're dreaming over your head," Dwight said. "It's okay to dream, but your dreams must be based on reality. Here's what I mean. We're living here free of charge. Mama Tess already said the house is ours after she dies. It's big enough. What more could you ask for? On top of that, she gave you her car. You just don't appreciate what God blesses you with." "It's not that I do not appreciate it. I would just like to have our own house that I can fix up and beautify the way I want to. In spite of what you think, this house is too small. Right now the children are sharing a room. What are we going to do when they get bigger? Plus, this is not my dream house. I want a big two-story house with columns, surrounded by a spacious yard, and instead of a picket fence, hedges surrounding it. Is anything wrong with that dream?" Rosalind said. "I guess the next surprise you're going to spring on me is telling me you bought a house, huh?" Dwight said. Rosalind smiled. "If you keep on jumping out there and making these huge purchases, you're sure enough going to put us in the poorhouse. We cannot have it all, don't you know that by now? Like I said, take the car back first thing tomorrow and get your money back, and don't even turn up at the pharmacy. We're doing quite well without you getting a job." "I believe God wants us to have things," Rosalind said. "Oh, so now you're presuming upon God," Dwight said. "He wants us to do things the right way. As long as I'm breathing and have my health and strength, we will always have a place to stay. There will always be food on the table, and we will have clothes to wear. It may not be fashionable, but it will cover us up." Rosalind shook her head and smiled. "I want to do more than cover up. My children are not going to go out of the house looking like who done it. Look, Rosalind, I'm making enough to take care of all our needs. We may not have too much of the extras of this life right now, but we can live honestly and not get into debt, Dwight said. Are you trying to say I can't take care of my family? Rosalind chuckled. I did not say anything about not living honestly, and neither did I say anything about going into debt. I have it all figured out, and you do not have to help me out with anything. We'll see, Dwight said, eyeing his wife, as she walked off towards the kitchen. We'll see. Just don't come crying to me when you can't finish paying for the car, and they come and take it back. How did you even know there was an opening at the pharmacy? If you'll excuse me, I need to get something cooking. See what I mean? This is the first day on your so-called job, and we're already eating late, Dwight said. The next thing you're going to do is to come home, complaining about how tired you are, too tired to even cook. I tell you the truth. You don't need to bother going down to the pharmacy tomorrow. Just call them in the early morning and tell them you can't take the job. Do you hear me? Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. May God bless you until the next time.